Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Are you PNLP? This is the Premier Non-League Podcast.
Welcome to episode 53 of the Premier Non-League Podcast, brought to you with Tackle This Together. Chaps, we're not the part-timers tonight. We'll go on to that in a little bit, but we're joined by Trev. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, James.
Good to hear you, mate. Last minute, you were rising like Christ himself, weren't you?
Rising like Lazarus.
It would have just been North versus South otherwise, Chris, wouldn't it have been? We'd have been holding the sticks of the fort up.
It would. We'd have managed.
We would have managed. We'd have, Trev. Let Pete off Thank his you. Anniversary and his annual you-know-what tonight, so we've got to do that, haven't we? Normally, it's the end I start bringing the tone down. We'll do it at the beginning today. Chaps, how have we been the last couple of weeks? Trevor, how's it been for you?
Yeah, good. You know, a lot of football as always, a lot of blogging, a lot of podcasting, a lot of everything. A lot of trying to keep up with everything.
Yeah. No, it's true. Chris, how about yourself?
Yeah, well, obviously, I missed the last one, so it's 4 weeks.
Oh, yeah, of course. You were out on a Shields night out, curry night or something, weren't it?
Yeah, with a few of the Shields backroom team. Not on the big, as in office backroom. Mm. Yeah, it was good. But obviously, missed you lads, and it's been a busy old 4 weeks. It's been a topsy-turvy 4 weeks, as it always is in football.
Oh, it has. We've got plenty to talk about. I think we talk about this part-time thing. So I obviously, as you know, for the regular listeners, I often can't make it through work reasons. And I get abuse on our little chat channel being called a part-timer. But normally, Trev, it's Gareth, who really isn't one to talk, is he? I know he's got a kid now, but even last season when he didn't have a kid, he was still just as bad, wasn't he? But he's using the kid as an excuse now.
Well, it was internet connection, wasn't it? Now it's children. But I think between the pair of you over the next few weeks, you'd be chucking the tag ball between you.
Yeah, but like a tag team, won't it? It'd be like WWE tag team. We got this new saying, partially part time now, haven't we? Because the next one I won't be at, but I'll be able to edit it for us, and then. So I think that gives me the title of partial part-time. But it's the irony of Gareth. I mean, I don't know where I get all the stick from. When if he was a perfect attendance for the whole podcast, then you could. But even you would want to call him part-time. He's trying to deflect it a little bit, wasn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit. But I think I'm the only one that's 100% record this season, but don't
talk about it, because then now the next time it actually happens and you can't make it, you're going to get proper mugged off.
But as everyone else has had a week off, I'm allowed one some point during the season.
Yeah, I was 100% last season.
Were you the only one last season?
Yeah.
So that was my first game that I've missed in two seasons.
Well, Trev, I thought we were missing a little bit on the last episode. I mean, it was like having a lovely meal, but just we didn't have that little bit of seasoning on top, did we?
No, we sort of like, well, we almost had to miss out on dessert more than anything else, didn't we?
Yeah, a nice little profiterole or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, anyway, yeah. It looks like a licorice all sort tonight, doesn't he? With his pink, is that pink and blue or pink and black?
Pink and blue, it's a lounge suit.
It's one of those things, it's like those memes that went around. What colour is the dress? Is it green? Is it black? Is it red? And everything like that. Anyway, we're not talking about that. We're talking about football, as we normally
say. It's a little bit of an ode to either Corinthian Casuals or Dulwich Hamlet.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Those colours.
He's representing the South.
I think it's an Asda lounge suit, I think, something, you know.
No, it's not Asda. It's the finest Harrods, isn't it? You got it ordered by Mohammed Fayed himself, or whoever owns Harrods now, isn't it? The Qataris.
The late.
With his Michael Jackson statue outside Fulham FC. Anyway, that's a Premier Non-League. That's a Premier League Non-League Premier podcast thing. Not the Premier Non-League podcast. FA Cup times. Chris, what's going on, man? Like, we always said, like, the opportunity, unless we both hit the National League, which we're both at the right ends of the table at the moment for that to possibly happen next year. Long way to go. We thought the other opportunity would be one of the Cups. You played Leek Town, two leagues below. What's going on?
Absolute shite.
just say it as it is. Why not?
Yeah.
Meet your words, Chris. Go on.
Yeah. it was a really... It was a disappointing performance from minute one. Not at the races. Leek clearly wanted it more. Yes, their surface was a 3G surface was pretty poor, if I'm going to be honest. But notwithstanding that, Shields were awful. Really? I think selection was wrong in midfield. We have arguably our player of the season so far sat on the bench in Lirak Hassani. We've got one of the all-time leading appearance maker and best playmaker on the bench. We kind of gifted them the goals, but it wasn't just that. They were better than us and they had more energy than us. They wanted it more. They were well organised. It's as if, I don't know, whether they had one eye on the league campaign rather, you know, this season the FA Cup is it or was it a priority, or is it now the league when you consider, you know, we're joint top already, and really we can improve definitely, so maybe they've got one eye on the league campaign, who knows, but it was awful Saturday, really bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know what? It's very, from what I understand, I wasn't at Worthing's game against Whitehawk on Saturday. Again, a team two league, no, one, no, they're one league below now, aren't they? They're in the
one below, Prem, yeah.
I think. So I understand that we were very, very poor in the first half, very poor. We're 1-0 down at half time and end up winning 2-1 through a really good, if you haven't seen it, it's probably going viral on internet, Luke Robinson.
Yeah, seen it.
Back sort of kick. That was brilliant. We're doing quite well this season of viral stuff here at Worthing. We had the goal in the league, the charity shield type of cuppy thing, the Sussex Cup shield from that over the halfway line from Finlay Chadwick. We've had Rocco Rees against Eastbourne in the last round of the FA Cup with his magnificent saves. And then we've had Jake Robinson in this round, the FA Cup. I mean, viral stuff does good things around the clubs. It's amazing, as we've said before, this generation of football, something viral can go. You know, I said if we still had Soccer AM, that would have been on Soccer AM this week.
Absolutely, yeah.
But do you think it's going to be one of these things? Then the cup's the cup. For Whitehawk, for Leek, it was their cup final. They're playing a team above them. I mean, especially in the sort of form of Shields who are full-time. And you could have a scalp on your hand, which they've done.
They've done it. Yeah, clearly they just simply wanted it more than we did. It was as simple as that. On national television, you know, we fluffed our lines on national television last year in the FA Cup against Forest Green, and we've done it again in the qualifiers. Just very, very disappointing. We had a good crowd. There was over 100 fans travelled down. Had to leave like 7 o'clock in the morning to get there because it was a 12:30 kickoff. There was a good crowd of us at the football club watching it, and it was just so bad. It was just considering what we've been like in the league. It was just so bad, and I'm hoping that it's just one of those things. We've got a big game coming up this Saturday at home to Hereford, so. You know, hopefully it's just a blip, because it was. If you watch it, it's don't watch it. It's so crap. Just don't. It's awful.
Is it not one for the memory book? Then no.
Not at all.
No,
not at all.
Not at all. How far is Leek from South Shields? I think I just told you here about 3 hours 15. Is that roughly?
Yeah, Staffordshire.
So yeah, that's nice that you've got a good old crowd at the club, you know, to watch it. But it's probably one of those things you were quite glad after. You probably felt quite smug with yourself that you only had to walk home around the corner rather than 3 hours return journey plus.
Well, actually, stayed out. I didn't get home till 1:30 the next morning.
Bloody hell, you're worse than Pete.
So, rather drunk. Saturday night.
Were you regretting it on Sunday morning, or was it?
Absolutely not. No, I was up bright and early, ready for the Ryder Cup.
There we go, which we're victorious on. But again, we're not the Premier Golf Podcast. Hang on a second. I think my eyes are deceiving me. Right. So can we give him the title partially part-time? Well, we kind of did some stat work this morning, so he kind of semi-had that title.
Oh, no, I didn't. I was working hard.
But he did that 10 minutes.
On the stats.
He's turned up 10 minutes late into his briefing because his missus has just got home. So
I mean, I wasn't supposed to be here full stop.
Fashionably late partially
well
part-time.
Done, well done.
Hello. Just going back to what you were saying, Chris, it wasn't even easy to watch on the TV because BBC absolutely royally messed that one up, didn't they?
Yeah, we struggled to get it on at first. We managed to do it 5 minutes before kickoff. It wasn't their finest hour.
What did they do?
People couldn't get on.
Couldn't get on it.
People couldn't access it.
I had to watch Brighton get absolutely annihilated instead.
So that's where our TV license goes, and they can't even do something as simple as putting on the red button. Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because it's only the qualifying rounds and it's not round three. So we all know it doesn't really matter, don't we?
The FA Cup doesn't start till round three, does it? No,
nope.
Apparently
nope.
Not. But I mean, that's even TalkSport, because they actually put it on TalkSport 2, the draw today.
Oh, that was horrendous. That was absolutely
going honestly. On about the Liverpool Spurs game.
Yeah.
Get over it. Yeah. Yeah. It's
honestly.
Just. I mean, I don't see why they can't stream it or something. They could put it on, put it on the red button.
Put it on somewhere where someone gives a toss, like maybe stick it on TNT. Sport.
Put it on Sky Sports News. Like, you know, I know they don't have the rights to the actual FA Cup, but
TNT would be better, wouldn't it?
Why not?
There tonight,
have they still got TNT Sports News? Do they still? I know BT did something for a while.
No, but they could do a little show, couldn't they? 20 minutes, Aaron McLean and Chris Hargreaves pulling the balls out.
Even if they stuck it on the iPlayer like they do with the game, like stick it on somewhere it's accessible for everyone.
Well, after Saturday, maybe not.
Yeah, it wasn't accessible. Full stop, no. To be honest with you.
But there we go. So yeah, FA Cup's over for 1 year for Shields, but happy and joint top at the moment in the league. You're playing well. Do you worry now that this little hiccup? Because I mean, I'll go on to Worthing in a little bit, but we're having a little bit of a blimp in the league at the moment. We are doing all right in the cup, but we're still not performing that well. Do you fear that you might have a little blip coming now, or do you think can you see
no,
it happening? No,
not at all. I just think Julio Arcas' selection was wrong on Saturday. He played players who are, in my view, not good enough. Mm. They found their level, and there were better players on the bench not used. So no, I don't think so. I think I'm expecting a reaction on Saturday, and it could be a big crowd on Saturday because the club have been very busy with the local universities over the last fortnight. The club attended Fresh Affairs at Northumbria University in Sunderland.
Did you get invited?
No, I was
That's why he's out to 1:30 in the morning on Sunday morning, weren't it?
No.
He was enjoying Freshers Week all again. He's like, hello, Daddy.
I was at my daughter's graduation. Does that count? But that was 7 years ago. but there's between potentially 500 students attending the game on Saturday.
You know what? That is absolutely brilliant marketing by the club. I sometimes wonder, like, why, for example, we don't in the local area. We've got plenty of colleges and even going. So we've got a partnership with Chichester University for some football academies. Why are we not tapping them up during Freshers Week? This is crazy.
So, obviously, Shields have just launched their international academy. And basically, that's a one-year course for master's degree students, and they're coming from America, from Mexico, Portugal, Brazil, beyond. So there's a big link with Sunderland University anyway, and they've just gone at the next step. I think the students, that if they signed up, I think they get free entry on Saturday, and they can get a pint and chips or pie and chips or something for a fiver.
Bloody students.
but to me, it's like you can only, once you've got people in, they'll spend.
Yeah, they will. Yeah. They will. This is why we always said, Trev loves to score, four for a score thing. Some of the clubs do, 20 quid, and you get up that. And, you say they're not just going to finish on one pint, are they?
Why not? Of course they're not. So Saturday is a big game. could be the biggest crowd of the season. We could topple the 2,500 barrier. So I fully expect a good reaction, providing selection is right. And I think Julio knows, I think he knows now who he's got and what he's got.
You know what? I hope it is, because I mean, I know it's completely different, but whenever Charlton have done like kids for a quid or like some school thing, we've always played absolutely dross. Yeah. Absolutely crap when you have these massive attendances. And it always is like, for God's sake, you're putting them on a platter and you're literally then playing the absolute shittest football you've ever played. But fingers crossed, you do. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, what frustrates me is when, you know, we had, and Gaz was there, I think, when Man United legends played at Woodside Road, Worthing's home stadium. Were you not there, Gaz?
No, because there was only about two Man United players playing in it, so I didn't bother.
No, yeah, I don't know who the and one, the main one pulled out the last minute, didn't he? Who, I can't remember.
Yeah, Wes Brown.
Wes Brown pulled out last minute, but the club should have been there with a load of leaflets offering half price off the next game, because there was over a couple of thousand in that ground on that day, probably even more than that, because they were coming to see. I mean, the stand was just covered in Man United flags. And we thought, you know what, we should have had some leaflets offering them 50% off a game of their choice in in the next 6 months. And you know, as you say, once they're there, people are like, oh yeah. Yeah, I was talking to my mortgage broker today, and he was saying he's a Horsham fan. He's based up in Horsham, and he was like, he's an Arsenal fan, but he said he goes to more Horsham games home and away now because he enjoys it more than the amount of money he'd spend to go up to the Emirates. And also, you know, Arsenal have been good over the last few years, but they're frustrating football, and you pay so much money for.
Yeah, and we don't have VAR either.
Oh God! Don't even start. Yeah, I mean, it worked out for Trevor at the weekend, being a Spurs fan, didn't you?
It was a sending off all day, anyway. And before we go any further,
you know what? The funny thing is, just been watching the fallout of it afterwards, and then realizing that actually, if we're gonna replay one game over one VAR moment, then let's start going all the way back to flipping Pedro Mendes' goal at Old Trafford that was miles over the line that Roy Carroll
I quite like it, because there was a girl from work that is, I call her the part-time Liverpool fan. She literally like goes on Instagram when Liverpool are doing well, and you know, when they won the cup or whatever, and she had a day off work on Saturday. I was trying to get a ticket, putting all over Instagram, oh, get me a ticket, oh, guess where I'm going, oh, I'm at Spurs, yeah, blah 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 blah, and then right after, don't want to talk about it.
I put this up, I don't know if you can see that.
Really salty Scousers.
And a packet of ready salted crisps.
Yeah, no. I do like it. I do like it when you see those, you know. I mean, I can't talk because, you know, I'm massively part-time at Charlton now. I go once or twice a season, but I wouldn't give it all that. But to be honest, I wouldn't give it all that being a Charlton fan anyway, because it's always going to end in disappointment anyway.
Anyway, this isn't non-league.
No, it's not. But you're also part-time, so shut it. Anyway.
I was just going to say, though, going back on the colleges and university things, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Aaron Machine a teacher at Worthing College?
Is he at college?
I think he works at Worthing College. I'm correct. Sure I saw him up
indeed,
there. Yeah,
you are correct.
So there's already a link there. I don't understand why it's not.
Well, as you know, Worthing have got a new general manager in Keith Mitchell. He's come from, he worked in Saudi. He used to be the general manager of the Guildford Flames, ice hockey and everything like that. So he's got experience of running venues, and he's done good things so far. He's been very good, very receptive. He seems like a good guy. And unfortunately, I'm not going to talk ill of people in the past. Well, I kind of am. People in the past have either turned up for a little bit of a payday, or they've turned up like not really caring about the club and what it is. Whereas, you know, if you ever actually talk to him, you can tell he's got the club at heart and he is trying his best. Like things that we've said, things like happy hour before, he's been honest with us. He says, we're tying in some really crappy deal with a brewery. You know, you can't easily get out, so you can't really run promotions. Although they did a promotion this weekend, which was good. I think from 12:30 to 1:30, there was a quid off pints or pints, 3 quid. And I was like, bloody hell, finally, they're doing something. But it's like anything. You look at a business that's, you know, you get a business that's been ruined by one CEO, someone comes in and has to be sort of patching all the holes up. So this is what you see at a level of non-league. You see it happening all the time. I mean, we've got plenty of holes needing patched up in a couple of clubs we'll talk about. I'd like to think that maybe eventually these will come to fruition, and maybe someone like Keith will think, well, captain, who's a teacher at a college, maybe we'll do that.
Yeah.
And it works. It will work. Anyway, as we said, I'm veering us off path a little bit. But so Shields, happy with them so far? You can't really complain, can you?
No complaints, apart from, you know, it's, put it behind us now. We're out of the cup. Let's concentrate on the league. And obviously, with what's happening with Scunthorpe, You just don't know where they're going to end up this season. You know, they are the best team we've played so far. They've spent, you know, they've spent the most money. They've got the best squad. But look what's happening.
Yeah. We'll move on to Scunthorpe. There's a lot to talk about in this crazy world of non-league. But I could talk to you about Worthing. Worthing are sitting quite nicely in the league. I think we're second or third at the moment. But that's off the back of maybe we're not even that. But that's off the back of another 4-0 away drubbing to Maidstone. The second league game in a row away from home where we've had four put past us. Very frustration. The first time in a while I've seen frustration from fans, you know, a few salty comments about the manager's selection. And as Trev and Gaz knows, and even yourself, Chris, in some respect, Adam Hinchelwood is a long-term manager of Worthing. He's got a lot of fans. So it sounds really weird to hear people criticising him because you haven't really had that before. But personally, I think he has made some mistakes. It's too many changes, you know, changing the formation. And, you know, players that should be playing are not playing for players that are maybe not as good. And, you know, as a manager, he even said to us on our podcast, he's got too many good players. It's almost like he signed too many players and he can't keep everyone happy. Mm. So what do you do? But conceding 8 goals away from home to 2 league games in a row just needs to stop. Even the cup games against Eastbourne and Whitehawk, we've been pretty poor. So is this our blip? Is he getting maybe a little bit kicking to try and stay above water at the moment with, like, you know, his level of, you know, technical ability as a coach? It's one of those, it'll be interesting to see how he gets out of it. I mean, Gaz, what do you think from what you've seen happening at Worthing? It's not like crisis days by any means. I mean, I saw one person put on a comment saying maybe it's time to like have a fresh approach for a new manager, and everyone's like, are you joking? But then everyone's also moaning. So it's kind of like it's frustration.
I don't get it. No. You've got a manager who's wanted higher up the pyramid. Yeah. What? Like, stupid.
We're fifth at the moment.
You're fifth. Played less than 10 games, right? Yeah. In the league. I don't know the exact numbers.
10 games exactly, mate.
10 games exactly. Utter crap.
Yeah.
And if we won the next game and the ones around us didn't, we'll be joint top. So, you know, it's crazy. But how can you go away from home conceding 8 goals in 2 games? It's not great, is it?
It's not great, but you've had you're currently, as I say, 10 games in, fifth in the league. You're on the best FA Cup run you've had for a few years. I know it's only been two, and with a very, very strong chance of getting to the first round proper.
Yeah.
Utter bollocks. People need to check themselves before they vote themselves.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. You're going to have to stick a bleeper in there somewhere now.
Well, Chris has already said shite once or twice. So it's all right. So we're all right. We haven't been taken down.
Live. You can swear it's not live radio.
We don't have that problem because that idiot from Shelf Shields Radio, whatever it was called, that guy who said he was going to put us on there and decided to mess. What was that again? What? That wasn't South Shields Radio. What was that called?
Radio Shields,
wasn't it? Yeah. Muppet, that bloke was. Anyway, that's another story. But yeah, I mean, the depressing thing, look at the table now, guys. We are fifth. We hadn't conceded those 8 goals, we'd have been on plus 12 goal difference, which would have been miles ahead of the other. That's one thing that Adam said. Last season, we conceded way too many goals.
But that was the problem last season, wasn't it? I think I worked out that if the games that Worthing drew, if they'd held on and won those games, they'd have finished second. Just have a little. It's the highest they've ever played. It's not.
It's not me, mate. I'm quite happy.
I'm not saying it's you, but it's the second in the league. The second season in the league. I don't get it. Just have a little bit of patience.
Do you think it's fans or maybe some fans of like newer fans getting impatient because they've seen us go? We've been on an upward trajectory in the past 4 or 5 years. They've seen nothing but really Worthing dominating, and they've gone through a little bit of blip.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's this kind of, without tying it in, it's the same as a certain era of Manchester United fans who have had it good for so long and are now. I don't like watching Man United now, but I'd never slag them off because they're my team. So
it's like Charlton, the same exactly. It's never Charlton, but it's interesting to see because you know, I agree. Like seeing a comment from an old timer, bless him, on Facebook saying, well, maybe it's time for Adam Hinchelwood to go. Like who's going to replace him? Going to replace him? You know, why would you replace him? He's in charge of the academy. He's more than just a manager. he's more, it's not just like he's a manager. So sacking him is probably not much of a possibility anyway with everything that's going on. It's going to affect so many departments at the club. Who else are you going to get in? Because I don't know anyone else around this area or this vicinity that knows Sussex football as well as Hinch does. So wind your neck in. You've gone for, yeah, it's embarrassing. Don't get me wrong. Those 2-4 nils, embarrassing. You know, it was horrible to come away from Braintree two and a half hour trip each way. Made sounds just over an hour, but you know, it's frustrating when you go thinking so much more, especially when Maidstone admitted to us the reason they segregated us was because Joan Luque, who used to play for them, they thought there'd be trouble.
Yeah, but
weird.
We've got to put a bit of perspective on it. Maidstone came down from the National League last season. Yes, they were very poor, but they're a full-time side and they've come down from the National League. 4-0. I mean, any team would go there, do well to win.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably one of the favourites to go back up, I'd have thought. I didn't think they'd do particularly well, but you'd
expect
them to. I
don't think they're doing great at the moment. I think they're...
But regardless, they've come down from the National League. They're not stupid, are they? 100%. I like some like. I'm not going to say that.
What are you going to say?
Just a few of the banter pages with those Torquay fans.
Oh, they're idiots, aren't
yeah.
they? Most I think they're just what you call keyboard warrior trolls. They like to get a bite, and some people bite, and it gets them off on a Saturday night when they've had, instead of playing for themselves, they play with a keyboard instead. So, you know, sad, sad lives that they live. Anyway, it'd be interesting to see back to league action this weekend. It's going to be, at the moment, every couple of weeks, we're going to have cup action if we're still in it, because we've got trophy coming up very soon as well. Trev, how Barnett doing?
You know, all right.
Very well.
We're still in the top three.
Yeah, but he's just a smug get at the moment because his NFL team and his non-league team are doing well.
Yeah, it comes in bits and starts, doesn't it?
Can I ask you about Callum Stead?
Yeah.
He played for South Shields 2 seasons ago. Looked as though he knew where the goal was. He knew where the onion bag was. Probably a little bit too slimline for the Northern Premier League in terms of physicality.
Yeah.
But he seems to have found himself a little niche there.
Yeah, his figures for Brackley last year were really good in and around the box. Yeah. You could see why Dean had done his due diligence on that side of the game, which they all do very well anyway at our club. But he's needed a couple of months to get up to the speed of full-time training, a bit like Marvin last year and Ryan de Havilland the year before that. And there's a couple of games, actually, that Dean said in the post-match as well, when Steady was out with illness, I think it was, where one of them was Dagenham, which is only one of the two games we've lost so far, that we could have done with him on the bench just to have that little different dynamic. And he started the last two, but when I went pre-season first day, excuse me, obviously his first day as well, he was like a little whippet round the pitch, and a couple of goals he scored were real good class efforts as well. But I think what was it Dean said, I think in one of the podcast interviews before the before the season started, I think he said on Callum, he'll chase a crisp packet round in the wind.
Yeah,
he's that type of player. So he gives that different option to Nicky Cabamba as well. And he's that type of player as well. You can play the ball over the top into the channels, and he'd be looking for that runner on. So yeah, I think he's got a big part to play. It's nice to see him score at the weekend as well. He seems to fit it in well so far, and
that's good.
Fans are taking to him as well.
Yeah, good news.
That's good to hear. So you're happy. I can't really say you're not happy, are you? Because you're happy.
9 wins from 13. I mean, it's it'd be nice if we stopped conceding your goal here and there and put a few more clean sheets in. Tuesday night last week against York, I think didn't watch the first half. I only got back in for the second half, but we were phenomenal second half. York just couldn't get anywhere near us. I know they've got a lot of problems for Neil Ardley to sort out, but it was just one of those, like we played the 30 minutes at Eastleigh early in the season. They're just, one of those spells we just can't touch us. So another game tomorrow night, another game Saturday. Our favourite friend, Mark White, we're at Dorking tomorrow. Well, it'll be tomorrow when the pod comes out. So I'll be winding him up all week, especially after Tuesday night if we beat beat Fylde as well, because Dorking are in a bit of form as well, so it should be a good game on TNT.
That's real Pete behaviour, that.
What is?
Oh, friend, I've been winding up all week, friend.
But you know what? Funny enough, actually, he messaged me. No, so he leaves me a voice note, because he doesn't do text messages, Mark. Everything's on a voice note from him on WhatsApp. And I've been trying to get this thing sorted for one of my mates with his corner routine. This has been going on since the back end of last season, I think it is. And there's always something that's like stopped him doing it. I have to constantly remind him. Anyway, he actually left me a message on last week about the touch screen's actually fixed. I'm getting Ross to do it, and I'll get him to send it over to you. So I had to message him back and go, blimey, I'm surprised you've actually reminded me about it rather than me reminding you. But I've spoken to him a few times this season as well, obviously, since we had him on the pod. And again, they're evolving every week. You know, look, I think they've had 5 clean sheets already this season, Dorking. They had 7 in the whole of last season. You know, that's how much they've evolved already this season. And that's it. And I think 2-3 points off the playoffs at the moment. So it should be a really good game next Saturday.
Nice to hear from you, Pete. Good to hear you on. Anyway, I can abuse him because he's not here tonight and he won't get upset about it. But we know, all we know, the friend said a good friendly back. But Mark's a good guy, so he's a friend of the pod. So Trevor, keeping those lines nice and, moisturised.
Lubricated.
Well, lubricated seems even worse than moisturised.
No, not really. No.
Both as bad as each other, I think. Really? Maybe? Yeah. No.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Anyway, Gareth, Mr. Partially Part-Time, fellow brother from another mother. Yeah. What have you been up to, apart from your little babby, in the last couple of weeks? You been too much footy?
I went to Wick last week.
I saw that. Yeah.
And I went to a little West Sussex League game on Saturday that my brother was playing in, and nice. I've seen some poor refereeing in the past, but this really took the biscuit.
I have to say, pause you there, saying about poor refereeing. Actually, one of the guys from Worthing said the referee that the linesman won a refereeing award at the Sussex FA. You know, the one, the Averley game where they gave that penalty thing for Worthing, where there was a, and he actually saw him in his Worthing gig because he was doing some filming for it. And he actually said that he came up to him and said, yeah, we made a mistake. The referee was actually banned for 21 days. Jesus. After all that. Wow. But that obviously at this level, it's never really talked about, is it? You never hear about bannings, do you?
I had heard that both him and the linesman were being sanctioned by the FA over that, and there was another referee as well for something else. I can't remember who it was, but I did know that was.
Do you know the thing is, it's the same in all football, all well and good and all that. I mean, this could be a long, long topic if we talk about it, but it does sort of say, but all well and good sanctioning them, but don't help the club that it's messed up, does it? It really doesn't. You know, as we always say, that could be the fine line between promotion at the end of the season or relegation. You know, but anyway, interesting. I thought.
Trevor. I was just gonna say, James. I think Mark hit the nail on the head though when he came on the 50th though and said though they changed the rules so flipping often the referees don't remember what's going on half the time. And I mean, funny enough, actually, I think today we were talking about TalkSport, weren't we? And the FA Cup draw and everything. They were talking about Spurs and Liverpool. They were saying there though that our referees are the lowest paid of the top 5 European leagues, yet houses are washed with more money than anything else, but we're not giving people tools to do jobs. It's, I was like, that's why.
I read something today that,
So he comes on and just chops you off as well, Trevor. Jesus Christ.
Makes a change for it not being you, doesn't it?
Salty. Get your scow salty crisps out there, mate.
I read something today that the Saudis have come in for about 8 or 9 of the Premier League referees.
Yeah.
And I'd be very shocked if 8 or 9 of the Premier League referees don't go to Saudi.
Well, they're actually doing it as a double job. The guys who did the Spurs game on the weekend were in UAE on Thursday to referee. So they're doing it as a multi thing, but yeah, you wouldn't be surprised to see them actually putting two fingers up to the Premier League and saying, I'll go over here and earn more money, what I'm actually worth, maybe. So,
well, saying that, Trev, I wouldn't be surprised next season we see a lot of lower league players going to Saudi to sort of develop their leagues. They've said, I know they've sort of been tapping up some players at lower leagues, professional league, possibly even non-league. I mean, you could get some of these non-league players playing a second or third tier of Saudi football, because it's probably going to be the same sort of level as non-league and probably getting paid a fair salary at it. And no fair play to them, because this is what we said before. If you got offered that money, you know, you could be playing for Havant and Waterlooville full time every week for 2-3 grand a month, or you could go out to Saudi and earn that in a week. You know what I'd rather do if I was a footballer, but in football, I want to be professional. Anyway,
I saw some bad refereeing. It was his second game of the day, and he talked to both coaches before the match and said, "This is my second game of the day, and I'm my legs have gone."
Yeah.
So you can imagine the standard of referee. And I get that it's West Sussex League. It's almost practically park football. But if you can't do it, don't do it.
Mm.
And some of his, at times he was sort of 50, 60 yards away from where the ball was and was giving a decision. Well, you can't give a decision at that point. Like, you can't see it.
Well, you say that, don't you? And, you know, I know... We can say, I know we talked about it in our chat, that about Lee Roberts, who made one appearance on the Premier Non-League podcast back in the early days when he was a Bognor fan. He's a part-time referee, and there's a picture of him, basically, I think someone told him to F off or something.
Called him an effing idiot, I think.
Effing idiot, that was it. And he turned around and had a go at him back, and I know, fair play to the guy. You know, we've got no ill feelings towards him. You know, he just couldn't make the podcast. But, you know, he's a referee. He likes his football. He's a passionate guy. He's obviously had hard times, you know, for his mental health over the years. And to be called that by some geezer, it's literally on a park football pitch. It's not even on a stand or anything. He does the refereeing because he loves ground hopping and going to different places. And, you know, fair play to him. And if he gets sanctioned by it, it'd be ridiculous. Yes, I know you've got there's always a fine line. I think, you've got to be careful because, like, you know, it's like any job, the customer facing role, if you're told to F off by someone, you're not going to turn around and tell them to F off back and get into a fight, because that's not going to win for anyone. But fair play to him for standing up for himself. And it'd be interesting. I don't know has he tweeted about it again, guys? I know Trevor.
I'm just having a look. No, I don't think so.
Haven't seen anything.
So I'd be very surprised if he got sanctioned for it.
No.
No. But no, I mean,
it's had 125,000 views, though, to be fair.
It's probably been shared by a few things and, you know, retweeted and liked. So, you know, fair enough to him. But, you know, it draws the attention again, referees, the amount of abuse they get. And if you're saying, Trevor, they're not even, you know, set up in the higher leagues, they're not even paid as well as 5 other leagues in the world. No wonder we're struggling to get referees.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. You've got to be, you know, players get paid enough, especially at those levels as well. And then you're asking guys to go and officiate them that are not saying they need to be on a level par, but, you know, that if there is no referee, there is no game. It's that simple, isn't it? You know, imagine if they all decide they're going on strike for the weekend overpay, like the train drivers and nurses and doctors and all that have done. Be no weekend without, you know, professional referees in a game. So that'd be interesting, actually, if they actually came to that.
Yeah, interesting. Very good. Right, moving on. Chris, what drink were you having, by the way? What were you drinking?
Just now.
Yeah.
Iron Brew Extra.
Go with me. Go. What was it? Iron Brew.
Iron Brew Extra.
Iron. Yeah. Iron. Yeah.
James. Iron. James, this is quite possibly one of the worst links I've ever heard.
I'm trying to be creative here. Up, are we? Yeah, we are. I'm trying to be creative here.
Isn't it Umbrew?
No, but it's only because one of their podcasts is actually called Iron Brew.
Yeah, called Iron Brew, yeah.
So that's where I was going here. So shut up, Gareth. You know, we I'm trying to be creative here for us and trying to get us, like, you know, we want to up our listenership, and they would go, what quality broadcasting that is. What quality broadcasting. I mean, shut up, you. Anyway, Scunthorpe.
They might do when Trev presents.
Oh, here we go. Oh, the part timer. Shame it's not a dump button here. There's a shame it's not a dump
button. Not round
actually, there is. I could go with Trevor with his microphone. You won't want him presenting at the moment with the sound levels, would you? We tried to fix him, though. Why is there a clap? Why is there a clap emoji? Yeah,
because that's what I said. It's a shame there isn't a clapping emoji in the sound.
That's it. Yeah. Is there a middle finger emoji somewhere? Anyway, yes. Scunthorpe. It's not. I mean, we thought it was bad with Southend, and yeah, it is still bad with Southend. But Jesus bloody Christ! Scunthorpe have gone. Hold my beer.
Mm.
Wait here. What the hell? I mean, so. David Hilton, their chairman, basically was investigated, as far as I know, by the Athletic newspaper, which is one of those things. I am subscribed to the Athletic, but I literally have it to read and I get distracted and I don't actually read it. So have any of you guys read the Athletic article?
Yeah. No.
Trev, can you summarise basically what it was about?
But he had a conviction for fraud when he was named David Anderson or White or whatever his blooming name was. He's had about two or three names in the past. He served his time for it, but obviously it was fraudulent, to do with money rather than anything else. So I think he was banned, like you normally are, being a company director for X amount of years or whatever. But I don't know how that affects when they do this so-called fit and proper persons and whatever test they have to satisfy to...
don't think they've done it very well through. Then, have they?
Well, I don't think any of them do these days. You look at, you know, Sheffield Wednesday and Reading as well. Another two examples that, you know, we're not here to talk about. But that was the basis of a lot of what the investigation was as well. Yeah. And it just that's snowballed on from there. I know he's under an FA investigation because of what they've put to the FA in their article. But it was quite a few weeks ago. I read it, so I can't remember if there's anything else that came with it as well. But there's all sorts of manner of everything that's just transpired since. I mean, I did a blog piece for the Scunthorpe fans on Friday night on www.footballwriting.co.uk. And
yeah, get it in.
I honestly had...
it's like getting the badge in, isn't it?
I honestly had to do so much research to make sure, because so much happened in the space of 1 week. Of statements coming out and people not now doing this and not doing that, to try and get it in the right order, just to make sure it made sense. You know, at least Southend's been a little bit more drawn out and a bit easier to follow.
Yeah.
This has almost hit like a thunderbolt to earth more.
Yeah, I think looking in between the lines, he's bought the club, he's funded the playing side massively. There are still a lot of redundancy payments to be made, I believe, to former staff.
Yeah.
There are countless CCJs against them, other creditors. So
winding up all the coming.
Yeah, and the thing that I can't get my head around is the fact that he's still going to back the playing side and pay the players, but without paying the others, there won't be any players anyway because there won't be a club. It doesn't make sense.
And it's not even got a ground, have they? I mean, the Gainsborough Trinity have been told their ground share, and Gainsborough Trinity released a statement saying that's the first we've heard of it. Where's that come from?
Well, no, conversations were had previously, but no agreements were kind of... There was no signed deal. So basically, it looks like they've had discussion. Gainsborough have agreed in principle to a ground share if that ever needed to happen. But Scunthorpe haven't had the decency or whatever you want to call it to actually set it up properly. So discussions were had months previously, but nothing since. So it's embarrassing, really.
I think what baffles me, Chris, is that surely, you know, when they do this, whatever it is, fit and proper purposes or whatever, you take over a club, as part of the National League rules, you have to provide a balance sheet to say that you're solvent as a club and you have enough money to see out the season. And if you aren't, where that money's going to come from. So, again, in a way, he's fraudulently misled the National League to say that he's able to finance this. Because, again, as you said, they spent a load of money on players, not just transfer fees, but wages, for a side really that should be, the squad they've assembled should be National League or League Two on the wages there. So from looking from the outside in, they've way overcooked it. And ultimately, maybe not a surprise that they've ended up in the hole they're in.
They've done it because, of course, supporters, fans were so disillusioned and they were frightened that they were going to lose them, because without them, because at the end of the other aspect of this is they need the fans to be there to spend on match days. That's what they're looking for. But of course, now that they're going to go to Gainsborough, some supporters are going to have to be making 60 to 80 mile round trips to watch their home team. So they're not going to get the numbers. It's like when South Shields had to play their games at Peter Lee, crowds of 60, you know. They're not going to make the money they need. So unless that's why I said, you know, South Shields joined top of the National League North at the moment. Everyone believes Scunthorpe will win the league, but for all we know, they may get hit with a 10-point deduction if they go into administration. They're kind of going into pre-administration now. So, scary, scary times.
I just think it's just such a shame that we could, at the end of it, we could be doing our end-of-season podcast. Last one of the season, if we stick to our schedule, which was going so far, so good, isn't it, chaps? That we could find two clubs. Yeah, good.
I've only made about two of them, I think.
Again, why did you not? Well, you didn't have to add that, mate. No one knows. No one's keeping tab, apart from me. Anyway, I just can't believe that, you know, we could have another two clubs in Southend and Scunthorpe gone. I mean, yeah, they'll be reformed. They always are, but they'll be starting a lot lower. There'll be a lot more problems. But again, these are two clubs that, as a Sunderland fan, Chris, me as a Charlton fan, we were playing up at the Championship League One level only a few years ago, and now they're possibly in the lowest league they've been for a very long time, about to go out of business. It's crazy.
Yeah, I remember as a teenager, you know, watching Sunderland get beat at Roots Hall, you know, on a regular basis. Yeah, it's really sad.
Because Trevor, really said it's quite, it could be D-Day for Southend this week, couldn't it, as well?
Yeah, I don't think it will be.
We
don't want it. We don't want it to be. But this,
they're not in court tomorrow. Apparently, it's been they were due. We record on a Monday, obviously. Tuesday they were due, I think, before Basildon and magistrates over an unpaid utility bill with E.ON. As far as I'm aware, that's been sorted. So that's not happening. Wednesday they are still, or they would have been due up in the High Court, but by hook or crook, they shouldn't disappear on Wednesday. So by the time you hear this on Friday, when it comes out, there should still be a Southend United. Where it is,
should we pause now and then do a what if type of podcast? I'm really sad right now. I'm crying my eyes out because Southend have gone. It's not going to happen, hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully. They should still be there on Thursday morning in some guys at the level not disappearing. But
then what happens
next? We're still 48 hours for Ron Martin to move the goalpost before it gets to the Wednesday. So
But we might be having Liam back on the podcast very soon.
Yeah, one way or another.
We need to be honest, if you listen to this and know someone from Scunthorpe, they'll be happy to come on and talk about the sorry saga that's doing that. I mean, maybe we should have done a little bit of research this week, didn't we? Actually, to try to find some, maybe for the next episode. I'm sure the saga.
There's a couple I know.
There you go. Tap them up, Trev. Tap them up.
As always.
Actually, can we get Iron Brew on board? We can all have a. I mean, I'm sure they've never heard it before with people drinking cans of Iron Brew on it. But you know, we could just be we could be original, couldn't we? And have a glass of Iron Brew. Actually, we can mix it up with a little bit of vodka, because that is a good drink I've had in Scotland.
It's a very nice drink.
Iron Brew and vodka, very nice, because you can have it as a night before getting smashed, and you can have it in the morning for square sausage sarnie. Very good. Anyway, I'm really going off tangent tonight.
Are you tired?
I am, yes. Scunthorpe, you know why it's been a very long 2 weeks for me, and I'm not going to go on to it on here. So, I mean, I keep going between that. But fingers crossed with Scunthorpe United that they just for their sake, just for their sake. I mean, they just, I can't, I've been nearly there with Charlton and all the sagas going on there, but you've never been close to that close to going out of business. I think you've been there with Sunderland as well, Chris. You know, there's been idiot owners that have like driven them very south. I mean, one of those idiot owners is now the CEO at Charlton, but you know, we'll take that. You know, what's it, Charlie Methven? I don't know if you heard that. He's
Charlie Methven. But Bevan Walter Mitty, allegedly.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure you'll have trance music playing at the Valley very soon if you've you've not watched Sunderland Till I Die. But where do we think, guys? I mean, in all honesty, where do we think this is going to go with Scunthorpe and Southend? What do you think by the end of the season? If you sort of touched on, will we be talking about them in the future, or will we be talking about them in the past?
Southend, yes. Scunthorpe, no.
Yeah, I was about to say exactly the same thing.
You know, I mean, only because I know a little bit inside Southend, but Scunthorpe's just, I mean, when you think Southend have had trouble for God knows how many years, the last 2 years been more magnified because we've seen it in non-league. Scunthorpe have had, obviously they had Peter Swan before, but then just when you think David Hilton's going to be the white knight in shining armour, turns out almost to be as bad as Peter Swan, but making it implode quicker than Swan managed to do. I just can't, I'd really be surprised. I know, like Chris said, he's going to fund the football. How much money has he got to make that last? We're only in beginning of October.
Yeah.
7 months, aren't we?
So their income is going to half because Gainsborough will want a share of either gate receipts or probably more likely, say wet sales.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll want rent. So the money that they would have budgeted for match day sales is probably going to half.
Mm.
Oh. Scary. Oh,
I think at the same time, we've got to say credit to the Iron Brew podcast, and I think it was Iron Hour or something like that, raised, I think so far, 60,000 to pay the staff wages this month. Yeah. And
Flat Caps and Bovril as well.
I follow him and speak to him occasionally as well. Stephen Hammond's another one as well that's been involved in pushing it out there. But you know, you've had Grimsby's, I think one of the directors has put money in, the guys who wanted to take over Scunthorpe, but Peter Swan wouldn't agree to. I think it's, can't think who they are, Sharp and Elliott, they put money in. Even the Scunthorpe players have donated to it as well, which is a lovely touch, but it's not something that should be happening. And every time you get a case like this, it just makes the call for the independent regulator get louder and louder, because football doesn't want to govern itself.
And the sad thing is, Trev, guys, I think this won't be the first, it won't be the last time we see this happening in our lifetimes. There'll be other big names. You know, God knows what, I mean, you know, God knows what's going to happen, because, you know, you get these clubs that are lingering in the sort of lower echelons of professional football. All it takes is one idiot owner. No one wants to take on the debt, the amount of debt they've amassed. I mean, it does scare me when you look at what's going on at Glanford Park. It's the same thing that Charlton are at the Valley. The previous owner that everyone hated owns the lease to the Valley. If he wanted to, he could kick us out there without any... I'm sure there's something in his contract, or with a lease contract, that he could serve notice to the club. And you're in a very similar situation, having to ground share again, having to this. And then it can only go south from there, sadly.
Well, James, last week, I saw on social media, Spenny Moore, who play in the National League North,
mm-hmm.
they made a £150,000 loss. And I think over the last 4 years, it equates to £500,000. Mm-hmm. So, and this is National League North. It isn't sustainable. This is why Jeff Thompson, the Shields chairman, wants the club to be self-sufficient and sustainable. He doesn't want to have to keep writing checks out every April or May. It's a win or bust. Well,
yeah, I mean, it's like these businessmen. You can't make money off a football club.
No, this is it as well. Yeah, I mean, like it's like David Hilton coming out and the guy at Sheffield Wednesday saying, "I'm withdrawing my funding." Hang on, you bought the football club. you know, if you've not looked at it and done your due diligence, that you're not actually going to make any money out of this unless you hit the Premier League. It's the only way you'll get money out of it because of the TV deal. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, but wasn't it said with Wrexham?
Sorry?
Wasn't it with Wrexham? They said, stay in the National League, you're going to lose 10 million a season. You get promoted to League Two, you will make 10 million or something like that.
I probably will with their sponsorship deals and everything, but that's just the Hollywood. Yeah. That's just their Hollywood appeal and everything like that. But I was going to say something. I can't think what it was.
Oh, I've done a gaz there. Sorry, man.
Yeah, it was just on the owners' things. But no, that's it. Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised though that, you know, with what happened 3 years ago, where clubs had to mothball themselves, literally were like, shit, where's my money coming from? That 3 years later, 90% of them still don't appear to have learned anything from that time and are still spending way beyond their means looking for the next rich person to come in and bail them out. And then they do that and then they go, oh, I've run out of money now. I'm not interested as well because it's not going anywhere. You're stuffed. Football just baffles me at times.
But Trev, if you were a rich man, you saw Barnett struggling, if you were a multimillionaire, but if you took over Barnett for vanity reasons because you're a Barnett fan, but they've got £10 million worth of debt, why would you do it? Like,
I wouldn't take Barnett on anyway because you own the wage bill.
Yeah.
And what you've got as players, that's it. The Hive is what.
But just just hypothetically, you know, like if it was any club or something like that you had an affection for, or you thought, why would you take it on if it's got those debts? This is the problem: is you're going to get all these clubs, they're going to have these huge debts, and they're going to be running after interest rates more and more every season. No one's going to want to come in and take them over.
No, well, this is the thing with the COVID loans that some of the National League clubs took out 3 years ago. They've been to the side at the moment. Next year, they have to start paying them back. So a lot of them are gambling on promotion this year because the payments next year are going to mean their squad's going to have to be half the size and half the decent amount of players. Again, clubs are gambling. It is utterly, you know, a lot of people criticise Tony for being frivolous at times and stuff like that. But blimey, when you see what some of these clubs look like, and I guarantee there's probably another 20 to 30 that are sitting there waiting to tip like Scunthorpe and Southend. They're that close. Like I said, just don't feel some of them have learned in the last 3 years at all to survive.
And that's when these football leagues need to try and help the local licensing laws, governing bodies, that, you know, things like the not being able to drink next to the pitch, you know, that should be erased, I think, in all football. I think even League Two clubs struggle to make money. League One even, you know, yes, it was taken away because of the hooligan eras to the 80s and stuff, but why can we not let drinking in stadiums again? Because we all know, as much as people hate promoting alcohol, alcohol at football is what makes clubs money. And that's what could be the difference between staying alive and above water or drowning and going into administration.
You can't do that. You haven't been able to for years. You live within your means.
That's true. That's true, Trevor. Yeah, that's true.
You know, when you look at football as well, it's meant to be, it wants to be run as a business, but if you put half of those clubs in front of the High Court, as a business would be, they would register probably 29 out of 30 insolvent and should be shut down straight. We'll look at Southend, weren't even solvent to start the season. Theoretically, the National League should have said, no, you're breaking our rule. Sorry, expulsion's it.
Another reason why I say what I said earlier about Worthing fans and that sort of thing, right? Just Worthing are a solvent club who do things the right way. Don't rock the boat by getting rid of your manager because the next manager comes in
But do we think half the problem is the fact that, you know, football is getting so ridiculously expensive now? You know, the gap is so huge, and obviously clubs are going to want to play in a football league, but can they afford to? And the only way they're going to get up there is by spending the money that they haven't got.
My take on it is because the wages at the very top are so astronomically high, young players who've been at those clubs, academies, et cetera, and they've seen the affluence, have seen the wages. When they come down the leagues, they are expecting the wages to be higher than they used to be at that level. So clubs are having to pay wages when one of my mates played at Hartlepool United 30 years ago, you know, he was a YTS for 2 years and then signed a professional deal. He's probably on about £200 a week. So the wages have far outstripped general income, and as Trevor's just said, 20 to 30 clubs will be insolvent. The books will never, ever balance, ever. And Rick Parry, just before we came on, Rick Parry was on Sky News because he's at the, I think he was on the Sophie Ridge politics show. They were talking about this. They were talking about football regulation. And he is desperate. He's not everybody's cup of tea, Rick Parry, by the way. I'm not really a massive fan of him, but they're absolutely desperate for an independent regulator to come in to kind of clean this game up.
Yeah,
it needs to, doesn't it?
Spenny Moore, £150,000 lot at National League North level. That is a scary thought. And £500,000 over 4 to 5 years. They're never going to get that back. No. Never.
And when you go up higher, Chris, you go to the Premier League and the Championship under their financial fair play rules, they're allowed to lose millions per year. Provided they stay underneath that, they won't get sanctioned. I'm like,
that's right.
I was reading a piece today, Everton, that they're allowed to lose 105 million a year over 3 years, and they lost over that 337 or something. So they're under investigation, which is due to be heard at the end of October. You just think, how can you just write that amount of money off? It's utterly ridiculous.
It's the era of credit, the years of credit. I mean, the thing is, you know, you could even go as far as saying, well, I mean, when I started working, you'd never get anyone in these brand new cars. That it's all on finance now. And yeah, I can't talk because I lease my car as well. You know, I am on finance for it. But, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you'd never see the amount of flash cars. It's because credit is so easy to get now. And it's the same at business, same at football levels. That's why eventually probably this country will go bust again. And it's, you know, we've seen the problems of it now with interest rates trying to restructure the country. You know, it's
crazy times, isn't it?
Something needs to happen.
What's the best way to make money in football?
Beer.
No, an FA Cup run.
Yeah.
Chris don't know about that this season, so it's a sore subject.
Hold on, that was better than your Iron Brew link.
No,
mate.
It wasn't.
Come on.
No,
that
it
was
wasn't.
Much better.
No. I'm not having that.
Chris, he's part time as squabbling here.
Anyway, if he's trying to get onto the FA Cup, I won't say Chris who you've got because that's really being salty and being a right prick, but like
we would have had filed away.
Yeah.
Away filed, and so that's a bad draw for Leek. That's a pretty bad draw.
Yeah. I don't know, they might fancy their chances. Filed haven't started the season at all. Well, we actually played them Tuesday night after we record, so
Worthing have got Bath, bit of a boring tie, but very winnable to get us into the first round probably for the first time in God knows how long. Barnett, who have you got, mate?
Averley or Hornchurch.
Yeah. I would, that'd be interesting. I would have loved to have had Barnett. Horsham versus Dorking, Mark White, Dom De Paola, Premier Non-League podcast favourites.
Best mates as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
Friends. Yeah, they're actual friends. That would be funny. I'll be looking forward to seeing that on a bunch of amateurs because I'm sure they'll highlight that they are friends as well outside of the playground. But
I was going to mention what we were talking about before we come on air, because I'd mentioned it here as well.
Yeah.
That when you look through the draw on both halves, there isn't a lot that really jumps out at you.
No, there's not this one.
You know, and is it time that when it comes to the fourth qualifying round, the 24 National League clubs get pre-drawn, first one at home, next one away, then home, then away, and then the remaining sides get drawn against a big boy, so to speak. I mean, you've got Torquay against Maidstone, and then you got Tottenham against Ramsgate.
Would you do that every round though? Like after that?
No, when you get to this round and maybe the first round as well. So the Football League clubs don't play each other because they don't want to. They play each other twice a season. You know,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The Bath game is so boring for me. Like it's impossible to get into it. But we're playing 2 weeks' time after that in the league.
And you pick out. Let's have a look. Torquay and Maidstone will play each other twice in the south, and Bromley and Wealdstone will play each other twice as well. And then we've got in the north, Altrincham and Oldham play each other three times. Mix it up a little bit, make it a bit more interesting. And then those smaller clubs that get through are going to get rewarded against one of the National League sides, unless there's an imbalance of teams.
Yeah. There would be a little, but you mean it's going to be a little bit like getting to round three and playing a Premier League club if you're like a League Two? Or
absolutely,
something like
yeah. You know, because like I say, you know, Tottenham, Ramsgate, great. One of them is going to end up in the first round of the FA Cup, but
I
imagine both of them would have preferred to have had a nice little, you know, Sheppey are away to Billericay as well. You know, that's their thanks for going all the way to Wales and winning 4-1 at side one step higher at the weekend, but. I don't know. It depends what people think. I just, like I say, just makes it a bit more.
I mean, I think the tide around, at least in the Southern Division, is Dorking-Horsham.
Dorking-Horsham, yeah.
It's an A24 derby, you can call it. You know, you got the Worthing-Horsham was the A24 derby, but you're still on the A24 if you know that kind of way. It goes up to Heathrow. You go through Dorking to stay on the A24 up to M25. I think that would be good because Horsham ain't got anything to lose. Horsham got to the first round proper a couple of years ago where they went up to Carlisle.
I watched them Saturday, of course.
Yeah, and are they playing well at the moment?
No. To be fair, they scored early. Should have been 3-1 down at half-time if Hamworth had two great one-on-one opportunities and put both of them the past the wrong post. Did equalise after that, just before half-time, and Horsham, bless them, scored at the right points in the second half. Yeah. But
did you have a Horsham burger?
Yes, I did have a Horsham burger, of course.
Can't go to Horsham and not have a Horsham burger.
No, Horsham burgers are one of the best in football. But yeah, they looked a bit rushed, almost a bit hot potato-y, and they lack pace. When they bought Miles Meekham's on it, opened it up a little bit. You had someone that run at players and creating the space as well. So
was it weird seeing him in a Horsham shirt?
No, not really, because I'm not a Worthing fan, am I? So I'm not attached to players. Like
You are a little tiny bit of Worthing fan. You can't.
No, but anyway,
Gareth, help me.
No point in me helping you.
Yeah, he opened the game up a little bit.
He's got a tiny soft spot. You got a soft spot, at least say that.
Since we recorded the pod back in March there, they've got a covered stand at the far end. They've got a media box as well, press box, and scoreboard.
Scoreboard's something I'd love to see at Woodside. I just think it just... We'd
have one at Barnet. Something simple.
Aren't your ones broken at Barnet?
Yeah, exactly. But this one does the job at Horsham. Yeah. Why can't you not get one behind the bottom?
I don't understand as well. I ain't a businessman, but I always said sort of Barry at Worthing. I said, you know, get one in and you could put more advertisement on because you can just rotate advertisement and it'll pay for itself. Or get the board sponsored by a local firm because they're not that expensive. They're not huge expensive.
According to Tony, they are, but depends where you buy them from.
Really, I've got some contacts in China. I've got contacts in China. I'll get something shipped over. All the T-shirts I'll get made over there, I'll get a scoreboard shipped.
Anyway, but, we digress.
Yeah, we digress. It's going to be interesting to see. Good luck to all the clubs in the round. The goal is round one and a Football League team. Sod's Law will probably say, look, Worthing get into round one, we get something boring like bloody Braintree or something. That's what will happen. You know,
yeah, that's still in it, yeah.
Yeah, it would just be a crap National League South tie, I get it. It's just never the way. But FA Trophy start for Step 3 clubs is this weekend, is it?
Yes.
Yep, so then National League South is a following round and National League North.
Yes.
Yep.
So maybe Chris will see each other in that. We'll have to keep hope.
Maybe. But the FA Trophy is doesn't float my boat, the FA Trophy.
But you experienced it at going to Wembley.
The FA Vars is different.
A day at Wembley is proud. You know, walking down Wembley wearing your colours. It would be an amazing day.
But no, the FA Trophy doesn't float my boat.
Every time the draw comes out, I always say, I know it was different because it was COVID years, but I just remember seeing Spurs Marine and, you know, it was just fantastic. You know, people in their back gardens watching it because they weren't allowed in the stadium. And I think was it one of the betting firms doing a roulette thing or something like each house number, whose house is this ball going to go in first and stuff like that. And it was just fantastic because, you know, we see that similar signs at Woodside Road. I know it's not the same at Shields, but we're surrounded by houses. And you can imagine, you know, if we got a big team like Spurs in the FA Cup or a Premier League side at Woodside Road, the ground would be sold out. It'd be absolutely packed, and you'd see people. I mean, I'd put people in my back garden. I'd set up a little mini stand, for example, charge them half the match, give a barbecue, put it on, have some beer and thing. We'd sort it right out. But it's going to be. I know what you mean about the cup, but the trophy is a chance to get to Wembley, and you know, if you've seen it happen with PNLP favourite Chris Dixon and Hornchurch going there. It's been great. And Trev, you always like non-league finals day anyway, don't you?
Yeah, trophy's a difficult one for me this year because obviously we got semi-finals last year with not so much quality in our squad and we finished playoffs. Yet we're pushing top three this year. We've got the depth. What do you do? You know, because last year we were that close.
Trophy. It's like, you know, it's if you want to do win the cup, you want to do it in the FA Cup because that's where you're going to get the money. And as you know, although I know you've got a tiny little soft spot for Worthing, I know you have and you can't deny it. But I know the fact you know how much money needs spent on that ground and, you know, to bring it up and bring it money into the ground. So a cup run would be good for the facilities and for the fan experience because that's what it will be spent on, I'm sure. I think that's where I'd like to get to round one because I think it jumps massively after that, isn't it? It's like $9,000 if you win, and isn't it almost double that if you get round one or runner up?
Do you still get losers' money in round one and two? I'm not sure.
I think you do. Gareth, he's on his phone. Is that what?
Yeah,
you're
Gaz
at,
is
mate?
Always on it. Have a look, mate. I'm sure you do.
Statman Gaz over there. But anyway, guys, whilst Gareth's looking it up, we've got any? We'll start wrapping the podcast. Like, any shout outs this week?
Ooh, yeah, shout out for recently retired South Shields kit man George McLaughlin. He stepped down from his role as kit man he's got a bit of arthritis, etc. Former physio, joined the club as physio, became kit man, and just a good egg. We wish him well in his retirement from football. He's still around the club, of course, but. Big shout out to George, a great figure at the club, great guy.
I'm sure he won't ever have to buy a beer himself at the ground, will he?
I don't think he drinks much, if I'm honest.
He will now that he's on the pitch. No, he's not on the pitch. He'll be pitch side having a beer.
He's on a walking stick, so I don't know whether.
Fair play to him.
Yeah, big shout out to George.
Would you like to know the money?
Yes.
Well, we would. That's why we said, Gaz, please tell us.
Fourth round qualifying winners get 9,300. The fourth round qualifying losers get 3,125. Mm-hmm. And then that's where the losing money ends.
Okay.
First round proper winners get £41,000.
Jesus
Christ.
Jump, isn't it? £30,000 jump.
That's a great thing. Like almost like, okay, then if we ever get a boring low league time, I'll take it in round one. And if we get £41,000 into the coffers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, you're not going to say no. I think for the glory of it, I'd love to have a league one or league two. I mean, obviously I could get Cheltenham and that would be a dream. Cheltenham, Worthing. Like we played Havant and Waterlooville a few years ago in round one at the Valley. I always remember that because the manager kicked off massively because Cheltenham only had about 1,500 fans there. I think they had the same amount of Waterlooville and got to realise, mate, that having a Waterlooville aren't going to have all the Cheltenham fans turning up, are they? To be fair, it's not going to happen, mate. But I would love to see it personally.
If you get to the third round and just winning the first and the second round, you've got £108,000.
£108,000. So you win round what? If you win round two, you get 108.
If you win round one, you get £41,000. If you win round two, you get £67,000.
Wow.
And if you win round three, you get 105.
But you got that £61,000 in round two. And what Spurs did, if you remember, they donated their winnings to... in round three when they lost. What I mean is they donated their winnings to Marine, which sorted them out for a long time, didn't
they? Absolutely,
105 grand.
So, yeah, it's all to play for. And I know for one, Adam Hinchwood is desperate for a cup run and it'd be amazing to see Worthing in round one of the league. And, you know, same for Barnet. I bet you'd love to be playing a football league side to test them because you're doing very well in the National League at the moment. I'm sure you'd love to have a football league side in round one of the cup.
Find someone decent. We had Accrington away last year. That
weren't
special.
No.
You imagine Worthing get to the third round and end up playing Brighton and then get... Jack Hinch.
It's happened before in the Sussex Trophy, Sussex Cup. So this time, and Hinch was like, he wouldn't shut up about it. He said, when they beat us, he was like, they wouldn't shut up about it. He was like, mate, you beat Worthing. But anyway, Man United. Can you imagine that, Gaz, at Old Trafford? Man United, it happened to Crawley a few years ago in the National League. Man United, yep. Crawley. And it was, I think it was only 1-0, wasn't it? I think they only just scraped something by like United. But, you know, that would be amazing. The whole of Worthing, I think, would be travelling to Old Trafford, let alone Woodside Road. It'd be Worthing FCSA travel. We'll have to be booking all the coaches in Worthing to take us up to Old Trafford, I think. But it'll probably be one. We have to do one coach for Man United, Worthing fans, with me, because I'm sure they'd do that themselves. Any more shout-outs? Trev, you were... That wasn't a dig. That really generally wasn't a dig, but you know we would. There'll be one or two coaches just for the Man United fans. Gaz, from you, any shout-outs?
No, nothing.
Cool. Trev, you were having a little scoop through the paper there. Any shout-outs?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. We mentioned Mikulova, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago? There was about four or five clubs that... And lost any games. They've won 10 out of 10 league games.
Fair play.
Amazing.
And a big shout out to Stuart Bevan, who's at Mikulova, ex-pro, still playing his trade. He's got to be at least 40, perhaps more. And he's still knocking the goals in, Stuart Bevan. So a big shout out for a good pro, still putting something back into the game. It's fantastic to see.
No, you love those are the things you love to see, aren't they? Because, you know, if they've still got the fitness and, you know, that level that they're playing at probably is fine, to be honest.
Yeah, David Norris was at Lancaster for several seasons after being at Ipswich, among other clubs.
Oh, his crew, wasn't he, David Norris?
Yeah. So these lads are the credit of the game. It's what it's about.
Yeah, we'll have to mention Bedford Town at the same point as well. They've only played six, but they've won them all in the Southern League as well, isn't it? I think there's a couple of long seasons coming up as well. AFC Rushden lost all eight so far in the Midland division. And where did I see someone else? Ipswich Wanderers lost all five in the Isthmian North as well.
Rushden are in turmoil. You know, formerly Rushden and Diamonds and Max Greig and et cetera. So it's they're on the precipice, I think.
And the last one. Isthmian South East Division, there's three clubs that have only played three league games and we're at the beginning of October.
Wow.
All three are still in the FA Cup. Two are at least, I think, still in the FA Trophy. But you'd have thought they'd have had a midweek game or two fitted in for those, like when they haven't got cup replays in between.
Looking at that, most teams only played one to six, three bridges.
Yeah. The problem they've had is that, like, the sides, I mean, like Littlehampton, for example, I think they played Saturday against Lancing. That's their first game for about 3 or 4 weeks because every one of their opponents has ended up going one round further in the cup competitions than they've gone out. And I think that's what's happened with a lot of the games. Rather than, like, say, I don't know, for example, Hythe and Erith have both gone out of the competition and then they would have ended up playing each other.
Yeah.
Hythe have gone through or Erith have gone through, and that's happened to, I think, practically all the sides, apart from three bridges, but that's some amount of fixtures already to fit in, and we're at the beginning of October and the weather's going to start.
That'll be good for us guys on the South Coast, because there'll be plenty of Tuesday night, Wednesday night games where we want to get some midweek action later on in the year, and those cold, wet nights. We can't believe it's October already, chaps, but another fantastic episode, as again brought to you by Tackle.
James, where are you going this week?
Where am I going?
That's a silly question.
Part-time James.
Part-time James. Gareth.
I'm going to a game tomorrow and potentially on Saturday and I'm going on holiday on Sunday.
What, do you want a medal?
No, I've
got a kid.
Where are
you going, Gareth? Where are you going tomorrow?
Tomorrow? Probably EP tomorrow. I want to see how the new manager's getting on.
Not stunning.
No, probably EP. Just because I just want to see if there's a change. It's a completely new side, isn't it? Wasn't he sacked from AFC Croydon as well?
Indeed he was.
Sacked by Stormzy.
I wonder if he wrapped him. Yo, blood, you're sacked, yeah, innit?
Where are you going Saturday?
Potentially coming with you, but obviously I'm flying to Tenerife on Sunday, so depends on how well the packing goes.
Bruce?
Stow Shield at home to Hereford on Saturday. Big game.
Two and a half thousand, hopefully.
Could be more.
3,000.
The first game, it's the first game where there's been no kind of what I call summer interference, so there's no. Because this is the first home game where there's been no cricket. There's no local club cricket. no school holidays, nothing. So it's going to be interesting to see just what the crowd level is on Saturday. Looking forward to it.
Where are you Fantastic. Going, James?
I'm not.
Holiday. On holiday. Yeah, again.
Where are you going, James?
Yeah. Alaska.
Alaska. That'll be cold.
Yeah. It'll be nice. It's not. I'm not getting my moobs out for a bit of tanning action. So don't worry, ladies. I won't make you.
I am. I'll send picture.
Nice. I look forward to it. On that note, I started it quite low term at the beginning, and now Gaz has ended it off on a nice tone. But thanks for a good little episode chat with fingers. What? You disgusting. What's the lady say? Disgusting.
That's disgusting.
Fantastic podcast. Thank you very much. As per usual, do share it with your friends and family. Get us a few more listeners. We're up year on year. Gaz did some research earlier, which is good. So if we can keep that going, if you like the podcast, we know we've got our fans. We always appreciate the comments at the PNLP. Do share it with someone else that might like it. Tell them this Saturday when you're at the games or this week. We're listening to this really good non-league podcast, the best one there is out there. It's been a pleasure, guys. Look after yourselves. Mate, keep the ship afloat when I'm away on my part-time week.
Oh, yeah.
And I look forward to being back. From me, James, Trev, Gaz and Chris, bon nuit.
Good night.
Bye for now.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.